Duckula.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This time, you know, for this month of October, for Halloween, we decided to do something a little different for Knowing Is Half the Podcast, the show you're listening to right now. What we're going to do is, instead of our usual wait till November 1st and then start doing Halloween episodes, we thought, what if instead we did horror-adjacent cartoons in the actual month where it matters? Guys, it's New Frontier here on Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
So we're going to do Thanksgiving specials in November, right?
Yes. I mean, here's the deal. Maybe.
No, we have to. People love holiday content.
It's true. Like, maybe we just, look, we only have a handful of G.I. Joe Deke episodes left to go. Maybe we sort of just, like, put the hold on those for just a little bit and just rock seasonal through the end of the year. What do you think, guys?
I mean, I'm all about seasonal everything. Every food in my apartment right now is either Halloween or fall or pumpkin related. And for the entire month of November, it will all be Thanksgiving related. People love holiday content.
Gina is so festive, she sweats pumpkin spice. You wouldn't think it, but that is the truth. Oh, by the way, my name is Ray Stakanis.
I'm listening to you all pat yourselves on the back like we started this Shocktober thing.
What are we
at the beginning of October, as opposed to, mid-October? When's this episode going out? Even if it goes out today, it's still going to be way into October. So,
look, I don't know what y'all have been doing, but I've been watching Halloween cartoons for a month now.
Yeah. No, listen, hold up, Shan. I'm going to actually stop you there because the last episode besides G.I. Joe we did was election themed, which is still seasonal, and I will still give us credit for it.
You mean the election that happens in November?
Some of us already voted. Thank you.
Thank you. Voting is all
actually,
of us.
I think all of us did, have we? We did it yesterday.
Oh, I don't vote. I don't believe in it.
I see. Okay.
Well,
you would get confused by the ballot, so that's probably good.
No, my wife just fills out my ballot for me, and then I look it over, and I'm just like, words. And then I just sort of, hand it in. You know,
voter fraud.
Arrest me. Arrest me. I know you guys are looking for it. I'll be the example.
I guess we did all already vote. Look at us. Look at us. Good little Americans.
I'm very sad because I tried to take a video of our 2-year-old putting the ballots into the box, but I hit the wrong button because I'm an old man who doesn't understand fucking technology anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm very disappointed in myself.
I mean, not as disappointed as the world is, I'm sure. Right. 'Cause that's a video that they don't get, and you were at least there for it.
Also, you're supposed to mail the ballot yourself. Voter fraud. Both of your votes have been deemed ineligible.
Oh, hold on, guys. There's a van outside my house right now. Sirens are going off. I got to go check. Oh, boy.
You're going to get locked in a room with Trump, and he's going to cough on you.
That's a bad day.
Just so you know, Ray, that is a completely unrelated crime that they're there for.
Oh, great.
The election people are much slower. Those people are probably just there for the kiddie porn. So,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. How dare you? How dare you, sir? We're talking about an episode called a show called Count Duckula, which this is suggested by Brian Rapp on Patreon. Thank you, Brian, for this. Thank you for being a patron, a longtime patron, a big fan. We're a big fan of you, quite frankly. And Count Duckula was a suggestion. It kind of set us on this whole, what if we don't screw up Halloween this year, kind of a road that we're trying to walk right now. So Count Duckula is a British, for those of you who don't know, it's a British cartoon show that I loved. It's the spinoff of Danger Mouse, another British cartoon show from the early 80s. And as a young child, I loved Danger Mouse. I loved Count Duckula. I was into this. Did not realize it stretched all the way into the early 90s before it finally they stopped making it. And it's a show about a vegetarian vampire duck who lives in a castle with his thralls, and stuff happens. You know, it's a cartoon.
Yeah, I used to watch the crap out of this because it was a Nickelodeon show, and as I've mentioned before, I did not have Disney because that cost extra. So I was a Nickelodeon kid, and this was one of my regular cartoons that I watched. Not as familiar with Danger Mouse, weirdly enough, but I think it's because it was earlier and I was maybe a little too young, but I definitely watched Count Duckula.
Yeah, Count Duckula came out like 6 years after Danger Mouse did. But Count Duckula was a character on Danger Mouse, if I remember correctly. So.
Yes, he was.
I don't want us to gloss over the fact that the way, Ray, you presented this show, that it is about a vegetarian vampire duck who lives in a castle with his thralls and stuff happens, sounds like hipster pornography. It sounds like a series that was produced in Brooklyn or wherever all the hipsters are, where like it's just straight up gay porn.
Yeah,
I mean, London in the early 80s is probably a haven for hipsters, isn't it?
Yeah, also why not? Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, this was a British series, which I looked it up after. There's a part in this episode where he's eating a lot of muesli, and I was thinking to myself, that's a strange choice. Because I thought the joke was going to be that the muesli is disgusting and he didn't like it, but he likes it a lot. And I said, I have to watch this. I have to look this up now. And then I found out it was British. And that makes sense because British people don't think muesli is disgusting the way Americans think muesli is disgusting.
This actually helps support my hipster pornography thesis because muesli was a thing that my hippie mom used to bring home as if it were something great. And I'm like, the fuck isn't this Captain Crunch? This is bullshit.
It's gross. And I've tried it as an adult, like thinking, oh, I don't need sugar anymore. And it's still not good. It's just not good. Yeah. I would say American hippies and British people who don't have taste buds enjoy muesli.
Thanks for everybody in the UK who used to listen to our show. I don't know that you're going to survive the beating that apparently you and your countrymen are going to take on this episode.
Look,
of Count Duckula.
If you have a delicious way to eat it, that's not like maybe you're supposed to put a little honey on top. I don't know. I don't know what people do. Then tweet at us and tell me how to enjoy my muesli. I will go out. I will fully buy another box of muesli and eat it until it's done. If you tell me how to eat it to make it delicious.
Or count, instead of tweeting us at G.I. Joe Podcast and letting us know about muesli, you could instead sponsor the show. And we would say great things about muesli every episode from now until the end of time. Just two options. Two options are out there.
We really need to create that Patreon-only video series where we eat stuff. And it would normally be like Japanese snacks and what have you. But yeah, we could, patrons could suggest things like muesli that we would then have to eat. And you know, I'd be all for that.
Given the, you know, the Zoom world we live in, that's probably not even a hard thing for us to do. We would just have to schedule it out, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And I will say that Chan and I will probably eat anything. Ray's more of a food pussy because he only likes hamburgers and diet soda. But
he is the Great Britain to our every other part of the world.
How dare you? I am, you know, look, I'm the one white dude who enjoys flavor in his food.
Yeah, I could hear you trying to come up with some sort of diverse ethnic food. But I see your food posts, Ray. It's all chili and apple pie.
With lots of, well, to be fair, the apple pie I didn't make, but I will be eating it. But the whole thing is the chili is extra spiced up. You know, look, there's a common complaint about we white folks who we under season everything. This is, in fact, where all the British culinary techniques, I think, pay off is the fact that they just boil everything and don't season it in any way. And then they go, delicious English food. I like to put extra seasonings in. Like I realized later in life that you don't have to eat terribly just because you're a white person. Not everyone has this message is what I'm trying to say.
You keep saying seasoning, but the only thing you're saying is like adding
spice.
So like, yes, that's the thing.
That too.
Like ghost peppers are real high on the Scoville scale. I don't know about flavor
I don't eat that spicy food stuff. I just mean things like, you know, cumin, turmeric, you know, the chili powder.
You're still putting it in white people recipes, though. Like, you're making casseroles and chili. You're not, you know, you're not making Chan's Asian style meatloaf.
I don't even know what that is, quite frankly. It's shocking to me.
That's not meatloaf? Not surprising, because we just established that you only eat white person food.
No, well, Chan, you make these like really fancy ramen bowls at home, right? And then they're just got all these little things in them, and they look all.
The hell out of ramen bowls. Yeah, though.
They look all profesh. And if I was to try that at home, I just end up with like chicken noodle soup, you know. So it's like we're trying, but you know we're limited. We're limited.
I mean, it's very easy. There's no skill involved in making a pretty ramen bowl. You just get the right kind of ramen, and then chop up a bunch of veggies and add some things.
Yeah, you underestimate my ability to screw things up.
Now I want ramen.
Now I want to talk about Count Duckula, because this is one of my favorite intros. This, I don't think, is in our theme song throwdown. An oversight. Maybe when we do the second tournament, we'll expand out and include this. But can we hear a little bit of this? Because the opening and closing theme songs of Count Duckula, I could sing them as it was happening, even though I hadn't watched the show in at least 20 plus years, because it's just ingrained into my soul. And I would love to hear a little bit. This is a wonderful intro song that tells you everything you need to know.
Duckula. Legend has it that these foul beings can be destroyed by a snake through the heart or exposure to sunlight. This does not suffice, however, for they may be brought back to life by means of a secret rite that can be performed once a century when the moon is in the eighth house of Aquarius.
Dang.
Well, get to the song part, Chan. That's just like the talking part.
Okay, I was
really
into the opening, and then you reminded me, oh right, there is an actual song associated, which I am much less fond of.
Oh no, look, the intro is great, and it's all this like Vincent Price from Thriller kind of an intro.
No, that's the part that I liked.
Yeah, that was like, fantastic.
I like the whole package because right, the intro is, first of all, pretty spooky for a little kid's show.
That's the thing that impressed me, is like they weren't talking down and like
like,
blood.
And also they're showing how Count Dracula is made, which is always hilarious because they create these vampire ducks usually once like a century or something, and instead of
once every
blood,
100 years, yep.
They did you just correct me to say the same thing that I just said?
No, I was agreeing with you and then putting it into context for our listeners. British people don't know what a century is. You have to tell them how many years it is. Come on.
Wow.
Okay, I thought you weren't sure what a century was.
No, I was and adding
so you were
context.
Like, no, it's every 100 years, Gina. Come on.
To
no.
be fair, in the UK, they don't call it a century. They call it a humble buzzle. So
that makes a lot of sense.
It's like Fortnite. It's just like different words. So no, Gina, raise in the right here.
Think of me as like your Flavor Flav. So as you were kind of rattling off, I'm just behind you being like, 100 years. Yeah.
Okay. You know, thank you. So I appreciate it. Yeah, but yeah, so instead of blood in the recipe to create Count Duckula, Nanny accidentally uses ketchup, which turns out to make a meek, mild-mannered Count Duckula, who is a vegetarian. So they get all that out through sort of the voiceover, which is great. And then I enjoy the song because it reminds me of a lot of 80s movies. Like, I was getting very Eddie Murphy movie vibes.
Oh yeah.
With the beat and everything like that. Like, I was like, why am I thinking of Coming to America or Beverly Hills Cop? And I guarantee you, if you put Count Duckula theme song in with the theme songs to a bunch of Eddie Murphy movies in the
80s. I'm a big fan. So we're introduced to, you know, all kinds of different characters here. in the intros. It's basically, you know, you get the theme of it. You got Count Duckula, who's a failed experiment. He's a vampire vegetarian who lives in a castle with his Igor, his servant, and his nanny, who's an oversized. They're all birds. You know, he's a vulture. Igor is.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I couldn't tell if he was a vulture or like a bald eagle. And she's a chicken, right? Or a turkey?
Giant chicken.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, she reminded me of Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah,
so I just assume it was some form of monster chicken.
But I was curious what the if there's a bird hierarchy, like if ducks are sort of the wealthy of the birds, and then the other
apex
birds,
predators.
Yeah, like and then the other birds are their servants, or if it's just a free for all that, you know, it's not every servant is a chicken, not every chicken is a servant.
No, I mean, that's good. I mean, I think it's a meritocracy in the bird world of Count Duckula.
Yeah, I like that better.
I also appreciate the character choice of having Nanny
Hold
always
on, wait a
with
minute.
A broken
don't
arm and a sling.
Don't you mean a paratocracy?
Oh, Jesus, Chan. Really?
It took me a little longer than it ought to have, and I apologize for that. I'm sorry I had to cut you off as you go up, but then it popped in my head. I'm like, no, I'm going to pull this motherfucker off the rails, bring it back. This is why I'm not a good improviser, by the way. I'm like, okay, stop the scene. I got this thing. I got a really great pun. Y'all need to hold up. Enough of this character development. I have some wordplay.
But I have a question. Why is Nanny always in a sling?
It's a character choice, and I don't fully understand it, but I love it, because how many characters of anything, much less a cartoon show, does one character perpetually have a broken arm?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense, because she's clumsy, I guess. Like, she's the one who put the ketchup in the big Duckula soup, and she's always sort of doing the wrong thing. So I guess it makes sense because she's clumsy, but I did for a moment think I missed something, some sort of spousal abuse side storyline.
I don't think so.
I just looked it up, and the wiki says that her right arm is perpetually in a sling. The sling itself seems to have unlimited carrying capacity, as she is able to produce any number of items from it, in the style of Harpo Marx's recurring magic satchel joke.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Or Nanny.
McPhee.
No, the other Nanny.
Nanny 911.
Yeah.
Dr. Nanny.
Yeah, yeah. They have that big purse that you can produce things. I think the Brits enjoy magical sacks that you can pull things out of. That sounds like a joke, but it's not.
Like famed Englishman Harpo Marx?
No, like it's a storyline in Harry Potter, first of all.
Yeah, you got Doctor Who has the TARDIS, much
yeah,
bigger on the
yes.
inside.
Which, as we all know, is a giant bag.
May as well
no,
be.
No, they
May
just
be.
Like, I think because they're so efficient, they like the idea that, oh, this is roomier and it can hold more junk. I can't think of Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins had a purse.
I wasn't going to give it to you.
She had
yeah,
a
I was
purse.
Definitely trying to hang you out to dry.
She had a purse that she also was much bigger on the inside.
So the name of this episode of Count Duckula is Dr. Goosewing and Mr. Duck. So it's going to be an episode featuring Dr. Von Goosewing, who is basically your Van Helsing vampire hunter duck character. And his gimmick is he was a vampire hunter who wants to kill Count Duckula because he mistakenly thinks Count Duckula is a menace to the countryside. And comes from, I guess, a long line of vampire hunters, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't think he's a duck, though. His beak looks weird. I think he is also maybe a chicken.
He's a goose.
His name is literally Goosewing.
I mean, I'll understand contextual clues.
You know, I understand you don't want to put a lot of time or effort into this and like digging deeper and going to Wikipedia articles and whatnot, but his name is Goosewing. So
look, lots of people's names are Goosewing. They're not all geese, okay?
You know what? That's fair.
Name one.
Stephen Goosewing of Northern Ohio.
Shit. No, you're right. That guy makes a killer barbecue. That's my bad.
That guy, he's not a goose, but if you've ever been around him at a party, he is foul.
Ugh.
He is.
Go, can you put on your finest suit already, Ray?
Ray,
I gotta make it to
that's
Halloween.
My fucking job. How dare you? How
what I love is how much you. Chan likes terrible puns until I make one, and then he gets violently angry. It's one of my favorite gimmicks on this show. I'll call it out. Okay, so Goosewing, we kind of cut to Goosewing. He's on an airship, which is pretty cool. And and he says, one day, you know, I'm going to get you, Ducula, one day. And he goes to drink a soda, and he ends up drinking his potion instead. He, like, grabs the wrong thing, and he turns, like, into
It's not a potion. It's fucking floor wax.
It's
what kind of asshole is just, like, leaves cleaning solution around and, like, oops, I accidentally drank a bunch of it.
But I will say I liked that better because he has it on the table next to his tea and he's not paying attention. And it did look like some sort of potion. So I was just like, come on, dude, you left some sort of weird. First of all, what were you doing? And I appreciate the fact that they were like, no, it's just carpet cleaner. He could have left it out. Maybe his ship cleaning lady left it out, which to me is more believable than just he was mixing up potion and happened to leave it right next to his tea.
I guess it was in like a beaker though, which is what is that sort of?
No, it was in a glass jar.
Okay.
It was in a glass jar. And I think British people put everything in glass jars.
He drinks out of a mason jar like a hipster. So this is all. Yeah, this all checks out.
So we find out that essentially his personality gets changed or something. Like, he turns from like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde bit. That's what we're going for. You become the opposite of what you are. If you drink this potion, that's the gimmick. And he kind of, doesn't he turn kind of like bloodthirsty? Is that the deal?
Yeah. He basically turns into a vampire.
Yeah.
He turns from a vampire hunter into a vampire.
So you go opposite day. So that's where we're at for this episode. That is the through line of this episode. Remember that going forward. We cut over to Count Ducula,
which is not how Jekyll and Hyde works. But for the purposes of this cartoon, it does make for some interesting change up.
I'm still convinced Jekyll and Hyde is a story about alcoholism and about how that guy gets real fun when he's drunk, but he tends to break things. You're not going to talk about it at this point.
Robert Louis Stevenson was a huge cokehead. Like insane cokehead, and the fact that Mr. Hyde is like super popular at parties and has tremendous amounts of energy and then like collapses into a fucking puddle afterwards.
Yeah, you just described cocaine. Me every single time I went out in my 20s, so I don't understand. Without the popular.
Yeah, I believe they also called you Scarface at one point. Not because that you're Cuban, but because you're a huge cokehead.
None of I'm that is true. Pile, how dare you? How
I'm going to put
you?
All sorts of horrible things. I already said that you had kiddie porn. You're now you are a cokehead in your 20s. I'm going to keep stacking up horrible crimes on you throughout this episode.
That's
until
the thing, Jim,
they do is, call the cops on you.
Is, through all of this, this paints a picture of a Ray who had money in his 20s. So we already know none of it can possibly be true. Moving forward, Nanny's going to make Ducula some porridge, and it's no good. It's no good at all.
But first, this is my jam. He describes what breakfast he wants before she gives him porridge, and man, oh man, I wish we had seen it, because you guys know how much
what
I love.
Delicious morsels do we find on the breakfast menu this morning? Hot muffins thickly spread with flashings of melting golden butter, or pancakes dripping with yummy maple syrup, freshly baked croissants served with delicious homemade strawberry jam porridge. Oh, porridge!
I love that description.
After the intro and then this, I was like, this does not sound like a children's cartoon. And I'm curious, like, if more or most of British cartoons sort of like didn't worry about talking down to children, like, oh, we got to only have like monosyllabic dialogue, otherwise kids aren't going to understand it. Like, they just throw words out there that are just like for friggin' adults.
I mean, that's why they're much smarter than we are and better actors and better writers.
Fair.
I mean, yeah, none of this isn't true. Look, we've really taken the British through a ringer here, but let's face it, they're way smarter and classier than we are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's someone at work the other day was lamenting the fact that British people get American roles, and I said they're better actors, and everyone sort of agreed with that. Sorry, our American actor listening audience.
Yeah, look, the British brought us Earl Grey tea, and we brought the world truck nuts. So, I mean, I think we win, but like it's close, is what I'm trying to say.
Although, to be fair, both of us have fucking stupid ass leaders right now, and they're going through Brexit, which was a terrible decision. So, you know, no one can really claim superiority anymore, I guess.
No, we're both in the same mud wrestling pit at this point. They had it until they elected Boris Johnson.
Yeah,
then,
exactly.
And all your little snide whatever goes right out the window when you get Trump's mini-me as your actual leader. You know, sorry, guy. Sorry, British. We're back on you again. Hope you enjoyed the niceness. That ship has sailed. That's all I got.
Switzerland, it's your time to shine.
Switzerland, don't get me started on those knives and cocoa. Okay. Maybe we can find a Swiss cartoon. Let's find one for Halloween. Chan, get on that.
Oh, the Swiss are all about Christmas, so I bet we could find one for Christmas.
Oh, I like it. Okay, so Igor suggests he get some blood out of the icebox, and he says, why don't you try it? Blood, Count Ducula. You are a vampire who should be eating blood. And Count Ducula says, I'm a vegetarian. No.
Yeah, okay. This is I like this through line that Igor has served some of the most vicious vampire murderers for a long time, and now he's very sad that he gets this hipster duck. It's what every parent who has a hipster kid feels about their kid, which is, God, you suck. You suck so bad.
I don't think it's as much hipster as it is maybe a goth kid or some sort of just like all black wearing Morris.
Igor wishes he had a goth kid. He wishes he had a
hipster kid. A hipster kid, like, you know, has a job, you know, shows some ambition, has a man bun, has five different side projects that all get him paid.
Count Ducula has ambition. His ambition is to be an entertainer. It's a through line of the series.
True, true. You're not wrong.
He wants to be a famous entertainer. So I guess really it's what every parent who has a kid that goes into comedy is thinking.
Oh, there we go.
Can't you just try doing something else?
Can't you try chartered accountancy? Wouldn't you prefer to be a stockbroker or a lawyer?
I Googled Swiss cartoons, and the only thing that comes up is Pingu, P-I-N-G-U.
Get it. Oh. We're watching it. We're watching some goddamn Pingu. I don't know what it is, but I'm in.
Literally the only thing on this Wikipedia page about Swiss animated series.
I have watched some with Egon, and I would not recommend.
Oh.
But we're doing it. Pingu for Christmas. 5 Pingu episodes of the month of December.
Oh, I know what Pingu is. It's that terrifying claymation penguin.
I'm in.
1986. Okay.
It's in our wheel butt. It's in our wheelhouse. Let's do it.
Did you say it's in our wheel butt?
It's in our wheel butt. Okay. So they finally agree on the muesli for breakfast. Now, in between all of this, Goosewing has delivered quote unquote milk, but it's actually the spot remover floor cleaner to Igor at the front door. So Igor has now unwittingly brought in this milk, which is actually the potion from earlier. So Ducula is about to eat the muesli and he has to put some milk on it. You see where we're going here. There is a great moment where Ducula eats it. He goes to the opposite. So now he acts like a real bloodthirsty vampire. And he turns to Igor and he says, I actually would like some blood. And this is the happiest day in Igor's very long life.
Yes. He's very excited. And of course, he has it lying around because he's been waiting for this moment, I guess.
Yeah, blood doesn't go bad. I think we can all agree.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some in my freezer for a long time.
I've had some in my body for like decades, you know, so.
No, that went bad a long time ago, Ray.
Shoot. I think you're right. Get the leeches. okay, so he says, let's go to the maidens. So apparently we got maidens somewhere around here. Igor's just been hanging on to all this time. And as they go out, they go towards the front door. He opens the door and there's sunlight. And all of a sudden, Ducula is affected by sunlight. He doesn't like it. He's about to get damaged. He goes, I need to go to a coffin and get some rest right now. And Igor is like, this is the jam. I don't know what's going on, but I love it.
Yeah, he's all about it. He's into it.
No, completely. So now he's now going to the coffin. So now we've put Ducula aside. He is now in the coffin getting some rest for later. And Igor is going to have some tea. Okay, fantastic. So he puts a little milk in the tea. You see where we're going again. Igor has now made a colossal change to now he is an anti-vampire siding with vampire hunters. He runs into Goosewing.
No, that's a simplification. He's a big sweetheart. He's not anti-vampire. He's all rainbows and hearts and flowers and saying what a wonderful day it is. This was actually the first time I realized that it's just opposite and not sort of your more evil desires coming out, because the first two were both, you know, sort of nice guys that turned evil. And I liked this little take on Jekyll and Hyde. I liked that it wasn't just that everyone turns evil. I like that it's the opposite, because he's pretty hilarious when he's saying, oh, what a wonderful day. Everyone is so happy. And the only reason
Mr. Igor, are you all right?
You shall feel infinitely better, my dear, dear Nanny, when I have spread a little happiness, kissed a few babies, given shelter to some stray dogs, rescued several lost kittens, and helped a handful of old ladies across the room.
Yeah, so he just turns into a real good guy. He's not necessarily anti-vampire, but when Goosewing says, I need to kill the vampire, he's like, yeah, that makes sense. Vampires are bad, and I'm now a really good guy kissing babies and helping old ladies, so I will help you kill a vampire.
So let's go kill Duckwing together.
Yeah.
And this is how I think about this, and I think of just like a British style, because a very British style was to have a very bunch of people with very clear intentions that are across purposes standing around and having a conversation with each other about all of their points of view, basically, and nobody necessarily acts on it right away. They come to sort of an agreement of how the situation's going to go, and then it follows through.
So you're talking about a UCB improv scene.
Basically, yeah. It's the same thing. Like, I kind of remember seeing things like that in, like, Red Dwarf, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, when I think of, like, British kind of stuff, and Monty Python sketches, quite frankly, often have people that come in with very specific points of view, and then they talk it through, and they decide, actually, I now have to shoot you.
No, it isn't.
Thank you. you almost got me, Chan. How dare you?
Get on board. Get on board my argument clinic sketch.
We have a very... I could be arguing in my spare time. we have a wonderful scene where everybody is sort of there, and they're talking about just like what we're going to do. And instead of just running out and attacking him, they have this like drawn out conversation about how, well, this is what I'm into now. Yes, well, of course, I'm a vampire, but I don't think you should kill me. Well, I pretty much kill vampires. And they just have this whole before they finally pull out the stake and the hammer, and the chase scene actually begins. And I enjoyed the heck out of it. I really, really did.
Same.
Yeah, I dug it.
And this leads us to, you know, we've already done the three beats of the potion, so they decide to heighten and go with the fourth beat, because we have four characters on this episode. So Nanny drinks the potion, and she turns into this wicked smart, ridiculously cultured individual who's talking about philosophy. She's talking about science. Like, I loved this version of Nanny. Chan, I don't suppose we have a clip of that queued up as well.
Oh, yes, Nanny, I do agree.
Conversely, as Goethe would have it, ein und Leben ist ein froher Tod.
No, absolutely, without doubt.
Oh, yes, I couldn't have put it better myself.
And was it not Hegel himself who pronounced the supposition that...
Something very specific about a British accent pronouncing Hegel in that way that just touches the deepest parts of my comedy being, because I grew up on Monty Python. So like, just Nanny just going to town and speaking German, because of course she does, because she's, you know, she's read Goethe in the original. The whole time, like her dialogue was like overly verbose in the way that an English major, Natch, uh-huh, like myself, just eats it up. It's like, I get that, I into that, and that it's for a kid's show is just fantastic.
And again, I appreciate the fact that I feel like every cartoon at some point and a lot of shows have done a take on Jekyll and Hyde. And I appreciate the fact that the opposite of Nanny is super smart and cultured. It's a nuance to it as opposed to just everyone getting angry. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't know if kids would even really get it, but I appreciate that they tried.
I feel like kids would get it. Like British kids would get it. They're smarter. I think we all can agree on that. They just hate good food. So, I mean, you'd give of one, take of another, you know. Well, still coming for you, the Brits. Okay. So now we're in the final act right now. Like not a lot A to B to C happens in this episode of Count Dracula. It's a lot of kind of just sitting around, kind of having Quentin Tarantino-esque dialogue over cereal. Like that's sort of just what this show is. And I think that's what I really liked about it. It's a very slower paced. And when I was a young ADD kid, this is one of the things that probably calmed me down. And because this is Count Dracula was out around the same time as original Sonbo G.I. Joe, you know, 86, 87. So this is right there. Okay, so Igor's Count Dracula's bloodlust wear off in the coffin. It wore off in the coffin. So when he came back to that scene earlier, he was back to normal again. Igor now wears off his happy-go-lucky personality. And so everybody just sort of runs away. And then they get away from Goosewing, and he just sort of gets expelled from the castle. I don't even really remember how. It's not a huge action show.
I think once he realizes... Yeah, I think once Igor is back to normal...
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, does he drive him out or
anymore.
Something?
He gets scared
is what happens. Yeah. He gets scared and he sort of runs away.
Yeah, he says, I don't have a numerical advantage anymore. I got to get out. That's fine. Yeah, get out. So yeah, Nanny's doing the philosophy talk. It wears off halfway through and she's dopey again. And then there's a whole bit where they're going to give their monster pet milk. And then Nanny goes off camera, gives the milk, and you hear a loud commotion coming from the other room. And then that is literally the end of the episode. Tight. A tight episode, Count Dracula, 22 minutes, and we hit it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. It was Halloween-y, which I loved. It had a lot of talk of food, which I love, and there were animals in it. So this gets an enthusiastic thumbs up from me.
Just real quick, I did make a note at the end there when she gave the cleaner to the dog.
Here's some milk. Here, Towser! Towser! Oh, Towser! You bad boy!
Oh, dear, but you are resistible, you Jezebel.
Oh, Towser! Stop it!
Once more.
Yeah, Towser.
Is she fucking that
Towser
dog?
Towser raped her.
Oh, dear. Just
100%. I don't know that it was rape. It did sound like she was kind of into it.
I did not pick up on that even a little bit, and now I'm sad.
It was probably consensual. He called her a Jezebel. She's tempting him.
Yeah, and she I doubt she gets a lot of action up there in that tower. So probably it all worked out.
I think Nanny gets hers. I really do. I think that she's on.
And she's not boning Igor. They definitely do not get along.
Yeah,
they're not into it.
Good for her. Good for her.
If we were to assume that they had maidens kind of around just when Count Dracula changes his mind, I have to believe there are some young studs up there that Nanny's, you know, it's much like Gina's basement of 24-year-old comedy students.
Uh-huh.
I think Nanny has one of those going on.
I would
love it if she did.
The maiden thing, they don't store them there. They have to go down to the village at the bottom of the hill to get to them. That's why they open the door and he, couldn't stand the light. So I think she probably does get down there every once in a while and, you know, gets hers. But it's a walk. It's a walk.
She's got to get her groceries from somewhere. She's got to be picking that muesli up from somewhere.
Yeah.
True. I still go with the basement of young studs. I just feel like, why wouldn't she?
Okay.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's a big castle.
There's room, sure, but you know, on a scullery maid's wage, you know, where are you gonna make that happen?
No,
I just don't see.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Hey, this is Keith, or some actor playing Keith. I'm not really sure anymore, but we're coming to the end. The end of my Los Angeles con spree, but before I leave, I have some scores to settle and discover a couple truths to be revealed. It's all going to come down to the season finale of Rideshare Episode X. It's going to drop on December 3rd. Now, until then, I want you to catch up by binge listening the first season. And I suggest that you do exactly as I say. Or you're going to miss all the fun.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
It's Munchie Chi, girl doll, boy doll. School time and football fan outfits are each sold separately.
Munchie Chi, Munchie Chi, oh so soft and cuddly. With a thumb in her mouth, she's really neat. Fun to wiggle with little feet. Da, 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 ya, ya, ya. Happy, happy Munchie Chi.
I love you, Munchie Chi.
Munchie Chi, girl doll and boy doll are each sold separately from Mattel.
Back to G.I. Joe.
Realistically, I mean, for this Count Dracula show, with as little action as happened in the actual show, I feel like this could have been served as like one of these like originators of the 2 8-minute episodes, or, you know, 2 11-minute episodes, as opposed to 1 22-minute episode. And maybe television just hadn't evolved by that point to kind of get to there.
Are you saying this is not the great British baking show of cartoons, Ray?
Definitely not, because I like it.
Do not. It turns out both of you do not like the Great British Baking Show, which is insane to me because I host a weekly Netflix party specifically for that reason, and it hurts me in my soul.
I just don't. It's not anything about that specifically. I am not. It's the same reason I don't watch sports. I need a narrative, and I need more of a narrative. This is why I don't watch reality shows, because I need more of a narrative than just see who wins this episode.
What are you talking? Sports is one of some of the greatest narratives ever, from personal journeys to team concept journeys.
You are a liar.
I will fight you on
this. Gina doesn't read... she doesn't like cookbooks because they don't have enough of a narrative. Like, look at her recipe and like... Well, where's the character development? No.
Oh, no.
If a recipe took me a half hour to read, then you're right. I would never read a recipe. That's what the Great British Baking Show is. It takes me a half hour to read a recipe.
It just occurred to me that Gina is the reason why modern internet recipes you look up start with a 20-minute story about someone's grandmother in Italy before
you're
they finally
right.
get to drop
no,
the
I
panay
don't want
in the water.
That at all.
Oh, that's the worst.
No, that's the opposite
my God.
Of what I want.
Gina,
that is
you're
the
worst.
Opposite of what I want.
Gina, why did you do this to the world?
No, I don't. I want reality shows to be normal. I just don't want to watch them.
You know, I'm trying to learn how to make, you know, a baked pasta. And then it's all of a sudden like, when I spent 5 summers in Tuscany, the air was crisp.
I don't like that.
Shut up, just tell me the recipe.
Yeah, I don't even, I X off of those. That's why I hate Ina Garten. I X off of those real fast. Because no one cares about your stupid white lady life, Ina Garten.
It is entrancing, honestly. Just like to see how the other 1% lives.
I'm torn because I like the recipes of Ina Garten, but I cannot really stand listening to the person.
Whitey McWhite stuffs.
But I don't want to hear her story. She annoys me. I don't know.
I used to watch her and I liked it. And then she had a recipe for, I think it was like a lobster roll or something like that. I've never had a lobster roll. So I'm like, okay, well, this is interesting. I'll pay attention to what she's doing. I looked up the recipe and I was like, okay, calls for like 2 pounds of like lump lobster or something like that. And I'm like, I wonder how much that costs. And I looked it up and I was like, this dish, which is, you know, I don't know how many people it fed, not very many. It was a real small, like salad-y type thing, was like $300. I was like, what? Just for the lobster part of like, what is even happening? Why am I watching this thing?
Oh, wow.
Because like I started out watching like 30-minute meals with Rachel Ray, and I was like, oh, this I could do this. This is, you know, like something I could afford or whatever.
If I'm gonna watch a recipe, I'm going to either there's no way I'm going to Ina Garten. I'm going to just Google Gordon Ramsay and then whatever food I want to make. Gordon Ramsay eggs, that's a 2-minute video. And he fucking pounds it out. Or who's the glasses guy?
Alton Brown.
Alton Brown steak. 3-minute video.
Glasses guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I would also say I put Bobby Flay on that as well. If I'm not sure about something, you just type in Bobby Flay meatloaf and you got something.
Yeah.
You
know? Gordon Ramsay plus anything. You're watching a 2-minute video and it's going to change the way you make eggs for the rest of your life.
That being said, I always fall into a hole, though, because I accidentally type in Guy Fieri and watch 9 straight hours of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives until I forget I was even hungry in the first place. Oh, what a magical man that Guy Fieri is. I'm glad that the world is finally coming around to how wonderful Guy Fieri is, because for a long time it was a lot of hatred, a lot of unnecessary, and I sat here being like, I enjoy watching him on television. He seems like a genuinely nice person, and he does a good job doing exactly what he does. And the world told me I was wrong, and I believe now the pandemic has made us appreciate the exuberance and homey nature of Guy Fieri.
Look, he's a nice guy. He just needs to vary up his style. I cannot look at those frosted tips and that backward sunglasses and those Ed Hardy shirts anymore. Just dress like a normal person and I'm on board. But also,
Gina, if you were the perfect man, why should you change?
Say, in my defense of not enjoying cooking shows, is for a very long time now, I have said that I do not understand strip clubs because I'm going there and people are making me horny, but I don't get to do anything about it.
Yep.
And cooking shows are that way to me. I'm watching and I'm getting hungry, but they're not giving me food at the end of it. Like I went to I can't remember what Gordon Ramsay show it was. Hell's Kitchen. I got to go to a Hell's Kitchen taping, and that was great because you're there and you're eating. They're bringing the courses out to you. But just watching a show where I'm like, shit, that looks good. Are they bringing it to my house? No. Why am I watching this?
Gina, how could you handle being in the Hell's Kitchen when there was no through line?
There to eat dinner. It's because it's all happening in real time. So it was a free dinner with free booze. And that's a thing that I like. But then I didn't even watch the episode. So that's
if I could tell my story, Gina, I was also at the Hell's Kitchen taping for an episode as well. I appeared on the show. And we were there for the first episode, and he threw everybody out before we even got the food.
Ugh.
So I got the worst part of all worlds. I drove to the Hell's Kitchen restaurant, got all dressed up, all ready to go. We got sat. We got our free drinks, of course. And then outside of a bread basket, we got no food at all.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst. I'm telling you, why are you making me horny for food if you're not then going to give me food?
Is Great British Baking Show is the strip clubs of television.
Yes, exactly. And I don't see the point.
I do not agree with you, but I 100% get your logic and it holds up and I approve. My Gordon Ramsay story is that I covered MasterChef multiple times and I got to speak with Gordon Ramsay, who is one of only two people that I ever in that job of like interviewing all kinds of celebrities, actors and whatnot. Like if it was on television, like I covered it. Mm-hmm. And so I met a lot of people and only two people ever like just made me just lose my mind. Like their personal magnetism was so strong that I couldn't put three words together because they're just like, it's like when you know, you're playing Dungeons and Dragons and you roll, you know, your stats and you like an 18 charisma is what Gordon Ramsay has.
Oh, good.
And whatever you see on television, you know, like the yelling guy and, you know, or the, you know, the chef person who's, you know, like making eggs or whatever like that. So little of that comes out on screen, but in person, you're just like, well, you are just, I, wh- wow, just wow. And it was really weird because, you know, like I said, talked to a lot of people, didn't really do that to me. And just like, whatever it is, man.
Chan, and maybe you can help me out. Help me out with this story, because I remember one time I was over at the Chanchion North, and we were recording something. This was a few years ago. And you said, hey, Ray, can we pause for like 10 minutes? I got to do this interview with this guy. And I'm like, okay. And then it was like Joss Whedon or somebody, like, just on the phone. You're just chatting with him. And you're like, okay, let's go back to recording. And I'm like, what the fuck is your life? It was just crazy.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing, Gina, someday when you're running a show and you're like as big as Shonda Rhimes, like so much of your day is just going to be taken up with talking to idiots like me who ask the dumbest questions because they're writing an article and that's what you got to do. It's like, so tell me, what is this show about? Because you want the exclusive quote rather than just like looking it up and, you know, writing down what Wikipedia says, you know. You want to have the quote marks around it. So like you're doing your job. So like, yeah, you have to do that for, you know, like weeks in a row, just talking to the same dumb people, saying the same dumb things over and over again. Sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize when it happens to you. It's going to suck.
Well, guys, before we wrap up this episode today, I think we have another order of business, Chan.
Yes, we do. It's the theme song throwdown.
Hell yeah.
Oh my goodness, we are so far into this. This whole thing is fire. It's a magical time. Thank you for joining us.
100 years.
Also, this is getting dropped at the end of an episode that you already just listened to, so it's not like I have to introduce this at all. I'm just honestly, I'm scrolling over to the windows that I need to open up to do this right. So
it's off the rails. Here we are.
I'm good. It's already gone. It's already gone. Are you ready? Are you ready to just get into this?
Sure. Why not?
Here we go. What do you think of this song here?
Yeah.
Look, Quadrant 4, everything is a banger. Everything is a banger. I'm dancing in my chair. I'm shouting Thundercats are loose. I'm having a blast. I say this in Quadrant 4. I've said it every time. I don't know how anything beats that. And then we put up a song that inevitably is as good, if not better.
I will say that as I was loading all this stuff up, like in my head, I was like, yeah, this is good. And I had forgotten that there's a lot of filler in this song. Lots, like right around it. 30 seconds when the whole thing starts up, I was in. I'm a Thundercats. Yeah. And then after that main segment, then there's a long segment where Mumra comes up and he's like shooting lasers, and Lino's shooting lasers, and it's fine. But like there's just a nugget of gold that's about 30 to 40 seconds long in that, and a lot of fluff around it.
Thank you. Yeah, the ending is a little bit like surprising to me how just stretched out it is. Now I'm sure there's a lot of action and cartoon stuff they want to put in there, but at the same time, woof, you know, it does end on a little bit of a low note.
Yeah, most of these theme songs could be 10 seconds shorter. That being said, I love Mumra's frustrated or horny or whatever it is, scream, grunt.
No, it's horny.
That he gives. Yeah. I think that's worth it. I think that's worth the extra 10 seconds.
You know what? I was actually, you know what? I agree completely. I was thinking like, boy, I wish this was over now. And then that screaming started and I went, well, yeah,
it slows down. Okay. And then you're like, ah, all right, I'm bored. Oh, here's Mara.
Is that Gene on a Friday night of quarantine? Like, gotta get laid.
Yep. Yep, I'm bored until Mamra orgasms.
Going head to head with it. It's tough. I know how this is going to go for some people. Maybe not so much for others. Don't know. Lupin the Third.
This isn't like the same Lupin the Third song. There we go. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, tears. That wasn't the same one that I gave you. There have been so many iterations of the theme song. I mean, you could take your pick.
This one says it's the pilot episode opening. So, yeah, I'm not clear which is the true version.
Yeah, I mean, to pilot, it would be the first episode of season one. And I can tell you that's definitely not it. Because the first season Lupin the Third TV show is the most droll, unlistenable theme song you could ever hope to hear. So that's probably season two. But it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Look, Oh, is this it? Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to swap the audio in for this.
The band of third. The band of third. The band, the band, the band, the band. The band of third. Le Band the Third. Le Band of Third, Le Band, Le Band, Le Band, Le Band, Le Band of Third, Le Band of Third, Le Band, Le Band, Le Band, Le Band, Le Band of Third.
Yeah, guys. Look, yeah, that's straight out of like the worst part of 60s music.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I'm glad that they decided
myself.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really it's very like it's not as upbeat of a show that first season. It's a lot more serious and dark in tone. It's like, what if you did the gritty remake first and then did the fun version afterwards, as opposed to the other way around?
Which version is the one that you are looking for?
No. Here's the deal. You just played the one I just described, the droll one. That's the actual season one Lupin TV show. The one that you just played the first time was wonderful.
I see.
I really like that guy singing boisterously. And look, they're all great. Like, I'm not going to, you know.
Which one am I ranking this on? Which one am I ranking
The first one, the instrumental one with the upbeat.
The jazz one?
The jazz one, yes.
I mean, wait,
but the one that we played.
Gina, my answer,
Gina,
is
you're picking. You're picking Thundercats, regardless of which version we put in front of.
Here's the thing: I can justify my decision like I've never justified anything before. So go for it.
Gina, why don't you go first, since we already know where you're at?
Oh, okay. I remember I was on a sketch team at UCB called Goodman. And there was a sketch that someone wrote about people in a jazz band all realizing they hate jazz and then realizing that everyone in the world hates jazz. They've all just been pretending to like this horrendous music. And everyone was like, yeah, this is really how it is, right? It's no one actually likes this. And as soon as I heard that jazz music come out, and here's the thing. I've never seen Lupin the Third. I've never watched it. I have a feeling that you guys only like the theme songs because you like the show.
I've never seen Lupin the Third.
Okay. But these are...
Well, I've seen the Miyazaki and that's it.
These are not good. These songs are not good. And also, like, we've said it before. We said it with, like, The Simpsons, but it takes a very special song to not have lyrics and still be enjoyable. And that was not one of them. That had no lyrics. And it was just like, I felt like I was watching some Quentin Tarantino movie about the 60s and we're watching like a drug fueled fight scene. Like if it had something over it, I wouldn't realize how horrible and campy it was. But just sitting here with my headphones in, listening to this thing that started with jazz and became something even worse, it's not like I'm going to be honest. I don't even think Thundercats is one of the best theme songs.
Wow.
I disagree.
I think it's great and enjoyable, and I dance around to it, but compared to others that we've had in this competition, like I don't even know if it's top 10. So this was an opportunity to knock it out for me. But as soon as I heard that jazz riff, I my brain punched my face and left for the what felt like 800 minutes that it took to listen to it.
Okay, I'll go ahead and go next. Gina, look, Thundercats is, you're just, I mean, I don't know what about top 10. Look, there's a lot of great songs, and you can just, it's a sports thing. You say, oh, that guy's obviously a top 10 quarterback. And then if you look at the people they've said that about, it's like 22 different quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm saying so, it's good. You know, it's good. It's great. I love it. I listened to it. It could have been knocked out, but it wasn't.
I was dancing in my chair. I do like the Thundercats. I like the theme song probably a little bit more than I actually like the TV show, which is fine. The TV show is still good. But yeah, and I was like, well, what could possibly come out and beat Thundercats in my mind today? And then Chan plays the one thing that I guarantee you in my mind destroys the Thundercats theme song.
So you're a big jazz fan, Ray? Is that because that doesn't track? I feel like if that wasn't related to any cartoon and you heard it in a bar, you would be like, what is this bullshit that they're playing?
You know what I'd say? I would sour. If I heard that in a bar, my whiskey sour. Oh, come on. I'm an old fashioned kind these days. No, if I was in a bar and that came on and it wasn't related to a show, I'd be like, what the hell is this bullshit of any other sound happening in this room except for this great song,
no,
which just
not.
Came on?
Here's
the deal. I'm going to tell you the truth right now. As the song came on, and at first I didn't recognize it because Chan picked this alternate version I'm not as familiar with. And then when they get into the main riff and it starts going, and this song moves. This song goes. This song takes a story. It takes a journey.
Grandma.
And when the thing started and it started getting into it and I'm sitting here with my headphones on, bopping side to side, a tear started forming in my eye, and it started rolling down my face of joy.
Nope.
This song is pure joy, unadulterated enjoyment.
I refute this.
I would vote three times for Lupin the Third if I could.
I refute this. I feel like you're one of those people that thinks you should like jazz because smart people like jazz, but you don't really understand it. And then you just say, wow, this is good.
Jazz is a great music to have on in the room you're in when you're not needing to worry about the music. It creates an ambiance, but it's not
terrible.
Necessarily something
it
I want to break down.
People fucking horking into instruments.
Wow. This is the most personal week round one matchup we're ever going to have. Chan, you have to decide now between
Chan, I will fucking
right and
drive
wrong
to your house and kill you. If this makes it through, I'm gonna shit on your door.
Now, think about it like this, Jen. If we can get Lupin through this round, it's safe from Gina for the rest of the
time. No!
Gina, you realize that this is only in the tournament because of you.
What? I had nothing to do with this.
We did the play-in. I brought Steven Universe. Ray brought Lupin the Third. Obviously, we're each going to vote for our own, so it was up to you which one got in. You chose this.
Wow.
You
okay,
love
that's
jazz.
True.
Can I no. Are you going
for
Chan? Chan is going full 2016 Bernie bro right now and voting for Trump. This is crazy.
The answer is A, I love jazz because I'm a smart person.
No?
So there's that.
No.
Like I actually enjoy jazz. Mm. I do also have a soft spot for sort of 50s and 60s lounge music, exotica, you know, space age, that sort of thing into it. In this case, Thundercats is a rockin' tune. It probably does fall into the sort of thing of being kind of very of its time. I didn't watch Thundercats growing up, so it's not like I have that nostalgic attachment to it, but I do enjoy the hell out of it. And I, as with you as well, I bopped along to it in my chair. Lupin the Third is like I really dig it. I think it's really cool. I'm going to leave both of the versions I played in today because I
absolutely
wasn't clear which one Ray wanted. And so now we've listened to three different versions of this song. And both of these were very much inferior to the first one we listened to. Even if we did bring that other version in, though, I still think I would be going for Thundercats in this one. So,
oh, come on, Chance.
Sorry,
you know what
man.
That means? Loser's bracket. It's there. Put it in. We're not getting rid of it. It's making the final four.
No.
Wow, what an exciting theme song throwdown. Who could have guessed that episode of show one?
It was bananas.
Holy crap. Was it close? Maybe.
Now I have to make sure that every episode is just bananas so that this whichever episode gets slotted in here. That's
what are you talking about? We do those correct. Live, Chan. Podcast magic.
There is no magic in this. Everybody knows how a friggin' podcast works because everybody can do it themselves.
We've
turn on your phone, hit record, say something, stop. You've made a podcast.
Oh, you're going to put us out of business.
Ugh. We should just let this industry die.
I think this show in particular, we didn't just open the curtain. We outright set it on fire. But anyway, that's our show. Count Duckula, everybody. Wonderful blast from the past. From the mid, late 80s to early 90s. I don't remember exactly where this episode is from. I usually write it down, but didn't in this case. Because I did a bad job. Oh, well. Otherwise, you know, you can find us in various places. Do you guys have anything you want to plug before we get out of here today?
There's a podcast called AE Double Back.
Okay.
If you watch the AEW Dynamite on Wednesdays, like, check it out. It's fun. Me and Calder Holbrook and Teresa Gumprecht just sort of like hang out and talk about it after the show.
I like both of times. Those people.
They're very, very great people.
Great people. Big fan. Big fan of both, quite frankly. Gina, anything you're working on you'd like to say? Didn't a certain show you might have written for just hit like Hulu or Netflix or something?
Did it?
I hope I'm not telling you that for the first time.
Yeah, you can watch Unicorn Season 1 right now on Netflix. I'm trying to think if I've got anything on Hulu. You can watch a regular show Season 8 on Hulu.
Hey, everybody.
You mentioned Hulu, so.
Hey, I mean, like, I honestly couldn't remember. I thought it was Netflix, and then I was like, what if I'm wrong? I don't want to screw up the promo. So I'll just say every single streaming service that comes to mind, and you tell me which one is right.
Yeah.
Burning the curtain, folks. We do not pull it back. We set it on fire. Guys, you can check out the Who Would Win show. We're in the middle of Shocktober right now. We just did Leatherface versus Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead, which is very, very fun. And this week, we're going to be doing, drum roll, please. We're doing Edward Cullen from Twilight versus Albert Wesker from Resident Evil, an episode that you can tell I had my hands all over for putting this one together. Very, very happy with how that matchup is going to come together. So otherwise, you can hit us up on social medias. You can hit us up at G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast, or even Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. For $5, you can get every single back issue of the show. You know, we're a comic book now.
Just
back
go through the long boxes. Just dig through until you find what you need.
They're only like a nickel a piece anyway. But my point is, for $5 a month, you can get access to the Super Secret Vault. For the $20 or more, you can suggest episodes, much like Brian Rapp. Thank you so much for suggesting this episode of Count Duckula for us today. We love you for it. And I believe some select patrons of certain levels might even get a chance to make brief appearances on this show itself.
Yeah, making it happen.
Go ahead and sign up to Patreon, because the next round will be decided by patrons of the show.
Round
at the $20
two.
$20 or more level, we're going to have them do the segment. I'm going to play them this, like, I'm, you two are out of it.
Yeah.
You don't touch this at all.
We're not allowed to make any more decisions.
I'm gonna talk to the patrons directly, play them both of the songs, and they will decide which one moves on. So, like,
I'm confident that they will pick whatever I would have picked.
I'm not. I'm confident that they're going to screw me. So this is perfect. Good radio. And then we can get mad about what they do. Okay, great. So go at Prez Serpenter with a Z. He's currently sick with some hoax, but I mean, he's not letting it stop him from rage tweeting. So, you know, it's fine.
Is he talking about how he'll resign if New York State agrees not to prosecute him?
There is no chance Prez Serpenter resigns. Thank you.
Is that a thing that I missed in the actual news?
Yes.
That is not a thing.
Yes.
No, stop it.
Yes.
Okay, I got some reading to do, folks. Until then, enjoy your Halloween season and enjoy all the things we've suggested to you. Go seek them out, listen to them, watch The Unicorn on Netflix or Hulu if you can find it there.
Also, I heard the Taliban has endorsed Prez Serpenter for president, because that's a normal thing that the Taliban does.
I usually, before I cast my ballot, I usually wait for the Taliban voting guide to show up in the mail.
Yeah, they have a very strong preference, and they're making it known.
That is amazing.
Also, they're against Measure J in Los Angeles, which seems really specific. I don't know why they would do it, but you know what?
Good night, everybody.
If you're feeling
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of the Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming, and we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on the Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss, and I'm playing my Pokemon, and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me. She yelled at me.
Oh my god.
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.